My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, all. Welcome to the EDP Formula One podcast. And my name is Michael Bailey. We are back in a routine, almost. We, of course, had the United States Grand Prix at the weekend. We have just two more races of the season to go. And you'd like to think it's close to being resolved, but maybe it's a bit more up in the air than that, and maybe it shouldn't be. Joining me tonight, Richard Baxter, Kyle Cumbers, and Stephen Rust. Gentlemen, how are we? Who wants
good.
To go first?
Good.
Steve
good.
Says yeah. Good.
Very well.
Very well from Kyle. And
cool.
And Rich is cool.
Just to be different.
He's well too, I'm sure. Well cool. Well cool. So, the United States Grand Prix, Austin, and it was a wonderful weekend again for Lewis Hamilton, it has to be said, and probably this time, Steve, more satisfying because, you know, he did it. He took Nico on track in the race.
Yep.
Nico was obviously on pole and did it the hard way almost, I suppose.
Did it in somewhat style, really. I mean, I think it was kind of interesting to watch throughout the whole race because, I mean, from when he managed to overtake him, from then on in, I just kind of felt that he was almost just playing with it, really. You know, you sort of saw the distance between the two of them drop maybe down to about 1.6 seconds at one stage, and then he just cranked it up, you know, and just got double up that, you know, and then dropped back a little bit, and I think it wasn't too difficult for him.
No, quite possibly. It was an aggressive move, wasn't it? Cool, did the overtake.
Yeah, for a championship's at stake, your teammate as well. It was, yeah, he was quite a long way out. I mean, he had the DRS, but he was a fair distance out to do that, and thankfully Nico saw him and didn't go to the back of him.
Yeah, it's quite
not just allowed to be sacked.
So. Yeah, which is still lingering. Nico wasn't very happy at the end of the race, though, was he, in the green room? He seemed to be bemoaning the fact that he was being told Felipe Massa was a problem. I don't know if he was being a bit paranoid about it.
It's quite a strange conversation, I thought, and the, I can't remember who the chap was that representing Mercedes, but he seemed a bit confused why Rosberg was making such a there's a fuss about it, really.
But the cameras were on, weren't they? It's interesting with the green room. They can manage to not let the cameras hear what they want to, and then I suppose they can also use it to their advantage. Well, look.
You could see by his body language, you know, he was angry, and he was obviously angry because he hadn't won the race, and that was, to be honest, an ideal opportunity for him to do so. But you could just tell he was kind of questioning the team, and this time, you know, when there's only two races left, that's not the time to be questioning your team and saying, are you sure we're doing this right? Why is this a problem? And it's like, well, they're your team. You've got to have 100% trust if you're going to succeed anyway. And if you're lagging behind in the championship as well, you need the whole teamwork to help you get forward.
Was that the race that kind of proved why Lewis Hamilton will probably win the world championship and why he's a better racer?
Definitely. I think, I don't know if we've all read the comments afterwards from past champions and things, but you know, it just kind of echoes exactly what they said, really, you know, that he is a top-class driver, you know, and he'll probably go on to win more. You know, and I mean, if anyone had any doubts, watch that race.
So says the huge Lewis Hamilton fan, we should probably say at the same time.
Biased opinion.
5 wins on the trot, is it?
It is, yeah.
And more Grand Prix than any other British Formula One racer for Lewis Hamilton.
It's quite an achievement, really, isn't it?
Fantastic. Yeah. You think about the quality of the driver we're watching.
Mm. And sort of going back to the previous comment, it's sort of Rosberg and Hamilton's probably not much difference in pace, but it's just the little things like him overtaking there and Rosberg making a mistake back in Russia. And I think Rosberg even admitted this weekend he said he couldn't find his rhythm until Hamilton overtook him, which I kind of read that he wasn't dealing with the pressure of Hamilton being behind him until he overtook him, then he didn't have anything to lose. So
absolutely.
There's only tiny things that make a difference, and Hamilton's got them tiny things at the moment.
the finest of margins. So Lewis has got the biggest lead he's had all season now, I think. There are only two races left. Yeah, he can't win the world championship in Brazil because we have double points in Abu Dhabi. Are we angry? Who's angry? Anyone angry?
I am slightly. I'm more worried.
Oh,
because everyone's saying, oh, Hamilton's, you know, he's going to win the championship. Surely he's got this.
In fact, I just said it a minute ago.
Yeah. And for me, I'm trying not to think of that, because I think if he goes into Abu Dhabi and all he needs is a point, and Rosberg needs to win the race, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a bit of Michael Schumacher, Damon Hill kind of
argy bargy.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if something like that maybe happens if Rosberg's that desperate to win the championship anyway. So I'm a bit worried and scared of what's going to happen in Abu Dhabi with this stupid double points, I would say.
Well, the bizarre thing about double points is it was basically brought in to stop something like last season happening, but you had no guarantee it was going to be like last season. Why you wouldn't just leave it as it is and as it's always been, I don't know. But
and it's not in next season, is it? Which shows how much the FIA think of it themselves.
Yep. And it's not like Formula One is coming across as a bit of a farce at the moment anyway. So, but we'll get onto that in a bit. Did we enjoy the race? I mean, I think it was the third year they've raced at Austin, which seems to have flown by. It is a great track. It seemed like a lot going on down the order.
Yeah, no, I thought it was one of the best races for a long while, really. You know, I mean, it was tons of overtaking. After the podium drivers had finished, I mean, it seemed like minutes passed by and other people were still actually racing each other, you know, literally right to the line. I mean, you can't get much better than that, really.
Right, let's have some EDP Formula One pit stops. Now, first of all, we are going to stop at the little FIA paddock stroke marquee at the end of hospitality that they always have, because there's a lot to talk about, really, isn't there? Effectively, the fundamental structure of Formula One. A lot has happened since the last podcast. Caterham and Marussia both went into administration. Caterham asked to not race at Austin or in Brazil. Marussia, I think, have only asked for dispensation from Austin. Are we likely to see them in Brazil?
Yeah, I think they said that they might return for Abu Dhabi.
Okay, so they've asked for a couple as well. Mm. Okay, fair enough. So they're both out for the last race and the one just coming up. They may return. I think Marussia are more likely to return than Caterham for the final race. Oh, is that Marussia ringing you, Steve? It's not Marussia.
No, right.
They can wait. So we only had 18 cars on the track, and it looked like a pretty small grid. It made Q1, well, they changed the whole setup, didn't they? But it could have made Q1 a complete farce. And we're into a massive situation over the funding of the teams, how unfair it is, and the fact that it needs to be sorted out. Where do we all stand on this? Because Formula One just looked a bit of a joke at the weekend, and actually, seriously, looking at it going forward, you're wondering, well, how is this going to work in the future?
It's been wrong since, well, when the new teams, as we still call them, came in. They were sort of, not promised, but indicated there'll be a £40 million budget.
Mm.
And they're spending that on engines this year. And everybody's struggling for sponsors. If McLaren can't get a title sponsor, then Caterham and McLaren have got no chance. So Caterham and Marussia. Sorry, yeah. So it just needs... Everybody else seems to be... Bernie seems as... He came out the weekend and said it's kind of his fault, and then when he's interviewed the next day, it's up to them to spend what they've got. And the big teams are saying, well, no, we're looking after ourselves, we're in competition. And everybody else seems to be blaming everybody else. And a lot of talk, but you can't see anything being done. Unfortunately,
but this is the problem, isn't
it? Yeah, never get anything sorted. They talk about it and reduce costs, but nothing actually happens.
And there's no one in charge. It strikes me. I mean, Bernie sort of flitters around and he comes up with ideas and then he changes his mind and he'll just put things out there because he wants people to talk about the sport, and that's basically the only thing behind it. But no one actually runs the thing. All the teams are never going to agree because there are fundamental differences in what they want and what everyone wants to do.
Well, see, I believe when the new teams came in, I think Max Mosley was still involved a lot.
Yeah, well, it was his idea for the new teams and for the budget caps.
He's not even involved anymore, really, is he? Nah. It's the people who make these proposals who are then not involved. You kind of think, well, someone else must have had the same idea for it to be put forward to other teams. And it's hard because I think your budget cap would lower the sport a bit because it would make it harder for there to be as much action and new technologies which can be groundbreaking. And you know, look what's come through, like the double diffusing and all sorts for the last years. And if there was a budget cap, maybe you wouldn't have as many of those things. But then you need something to make it more level.
Well, it has to be, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, they need something there, and it's hard to know what, but there's got to be something.
Because at one point in America, we were faced with the prospect of Force India and Sauber also boycotting, and Lotus possibly. Yeah. There was a suggestion, boycotting the race, and we'd ended up with about four cars.
Could have happened, it could still happen again, you know. But I mean, this situation has been brewing for years and years and years, and they've tried all sorts of different scenarios. I mean, we had FOTA, which failed, you know. That was the idea in principle, was probably quite a good one. But yeah, the teams are there to win, they're competing against each other, and they're not going to give each other a single inch, you know, because they all want to find ways of winning. So it's probably not surprising that didn't fail, but. You know, I think a lot of the problem lies with the FIA, really, and their sort of attitudes towards things over the years. I mean, I think if you asked most Formula One fans who is the FIA president, I don't think they'd be able to name him. And when do you actually ever see the guy? When does he ever speak? You know, and to top it all off, for those people who don't know who he is, I mean, he's the ex-Ferrari president. You know, and most of the money goes to Ferrari. I mean, the prize money, that is. But, I mean, they did... 5 years ago, we had five manufacturers in the sport. We're now down to two, really, to be fair. And they've done nothing to keep those other manufacturers in or to even attract others back. And that's where a lot of the solutions lie. Do you get the manufacturers back into the sport? You know, they've got, obviously, the production side of their own firm that can back it up and support it, you know, and... Sadly, you do get the private race teams will come and go. You know, you could name probably dozens from over the years that have come and go. But if you've got five manufacturers like we had 5 years ago, then, you know, yeah, that's 10 cars. You know, and that's virtually nearly the whole grid we had last weekend. But that's the problem, really. I mean, they've done nothing to keep the ones that left or even attract ones back. And there's plenty of manufacturers out there that could afford to do that. You know, but they've been approached and they're not interested. And can you blame them?
But I was going to say, would they want to do it at the level of cost at the moment? Yeah. It must be hugely prohibitive.
They brought in these engines to try and save money in terms of how much fuel they use and be more greener and use electrical, which is fair enough. But one of these engines cost 20 million. The ones that they replaced cost six. You know, it's just madness.
How does this get resolved? I know we can't see anything. What is there? Because we've had things like teams having three cars, which has been talked about for a while. Yeah. It's not anything particularly new. I mean, I think the smaller teams obviously hate that idea. But at the same time, if you had five really strong constructors racing, is Formula One really a sport geared towards privateer teams anymore anyway?
I don't like the idea of three car teams. Because
no,
somebody will be
Steve shaking his head. Richard, no.
Because somebody will always be at the back. So Lotus could be at the back, or Sauber could be at the back, and then do they get fed up of finishing at the back? And then you go down to four car teams, and I don't mind the idea of customer cars, and say Mercedes maybe support Force India in a way, and I think we might have to do it if the way things are going.
Yeah,
I don't mind that idea. And then maybe Mercedes can bring through young drivers through Force India, for example. I mean, it's Red Bull to a Toro Rosso.
Yeah.
Also, back to the free car teams, if there is free cars, will Red Bull need Toro Rosso? Because they can, in the third seat, they can stick one of their Max Verstappen in the third seat.
Yeah.
They could just get rid of Toro Rosso, and that's another team.
Well, it's interesting that I heard that the drivers actually quite like the idea, especially those down the grid, because it means that they would... You know, that rather than having paid drivers, there'd almost be a chance for talented drivers to get a seat, because it's almost a spare seat for the teams to put through and let someone develop. I don't know if it would really work like that, though, when it actually came into fruition.
But the positive I can see is if Alonso does end up going to McLaren and there becomes three cars, maybe Button will keep a drive. Use Magnussen as kind of the development driver, but I just don't like the idea of three cars. It's just going to be... You could have one team on the podium, so you can have a podium for six or something, and I just don't know how it's going to work, really.
We always like an underdog. You know, Minardi came through, and you know, Alonso came through Minardi. So that's sort of the role of Caterham's and Marussia's, to bring through drivers and still have the ability to have their day, as Marussia did with Bianchi getting the points in Monaco.
Indeed.
Ricciardo started with Hispania, didn't he?
Exactly.
A few seasons back.
But can they do that with the way that the sport costs now? Because that is different, isn't it?
Probably, unfortunately not.
If they then have to buy in a pay driver, like Rubens Barrichello was apparently going to race the last three races for Caterham. That's the story that came out today. And that wonderful reunion was dashed. But I mean, we've seen more than enough of Rubens. It's not doing anything for the sport, really, is it? Apart from maybe his another farewell in Brazil. Not ideal. Is it something that could just carry on? I know that we don't really have any of the answers, but I'm interested. I mean, is this just going to rumble on anyway? Because Caterham are on the entry list for next season, although that doesn't necessarily mean they'll turn up. And obviously the team is for sale, so it depends who would buy it. Same really with Marussia. And there is a Manor, I think, on the entry.
It's a Manor GP, isn't it? Yeah. Entry, yeah.
So, and we've got a couple of teams theoretically lined up for 2016 as well. Yeah. So some people want to go for it somehow.
I think it would carry on. You know, I mean, you still get your obviously Mercedes, your Ferraris, your Red Bulls. I mean, they'll always still be there. But you know, I mean, you've got the US team. That's 2016. They're coming in. I think.
Pass.
And I think more than likely a buy will be found for one of the two. I think probably more Marussia are probably a bit more desirable than Caterham. But probably both of them would be brought out and still be on the grid for next year. But it still didn't resolve a long-term problem.
So we're just going to carry on, basically, aren't we? Let's be honest. It's the way Formula One likes it.
I did see an article that said about lower teams maybe giving $100 million towards their costs and all sorts. And I thought, so basically you've just said you're going to give them some money to shut up and stop complaining. Do you think, are you going to keep that $100 million going every year, or is it just going to be a one-off? But, I mean, it'd be good to see, you know, Caterham and Marussia back on the grid. But like Steve said, like Marussia, I think, are the ones I'm hopeful for most. And there was something on Sky Sports about some Indian brothers who were looking at buying the team or something I read the other day. So I don't know how reliable that sort of is.
Well, get in on that. You might get some commission for it. We'll see what happens, I suppose. We'll see what happens. And obviously the side of it is, of course, there's a lot of people's jobs on the line. And you're sitting waiting who don't know if they're going to have a job next season or whichever. So they're the other things to think about. Lotus, just touching back on the USA Grand Prix, where did their weekend come from? They suddenly had a load of pace, didn't they?
In
the race?
Yeah.
More than they've seemed to show any other Grand Prix this season anyway.
It seemed quite strange, sort of seeing little bits from Friday. The car looked all over the place and Roman and
more normal.
A man and Vassar were complaining as normal. there's a decent pace. So maybe this track suited them. Can't see why that particularly would happen, but yeah.
Freak. We're calling it freak occurrence, really, aren't we?
Even Sutil, Sauber, getting into Q3.
He did, my prediction looked silly. made it look silly. Right then, let's have the of-the-weekend discussions, shall we? Driver and Goat, and obviously, gentlemen, if there's anything I've missed off the race review, please dish in, dial up, and let me know what you're thinking. But the driver of the weekend... Oh, Steve, just say it. Go on. You know you want to.
I wasn't going to say Hamilton.
Oh. Because,
I mean, it's easy one to say, and it's very predictable. But to be fair, I mean, quite a few people actually had really good drives that last weekend, and I was going to put down Alonso.
Okay.
Because, I mean, he actually did some pretty good overtaking, you know, and he's not exactly got the best of cars, and, you know, finished in a quite respectable sixth in the end.
It does bemuse me how anonymous Kimi Raikkonen has been this year. It really does. Terrible. I suppose that...
I think probably one of the worst seasons for any driver.
Ever?
For a long time.
Certainly the most anonymous. It's almost like you see him and you're like, oh yeah, Kimi's racing this year. Forgot about that. Yeah. Just
bad,
nothing,
isn't
it?
I mean, for someone who's actually had quite a successful career. Really.
Yeah, not bad, yeah.
You know, I mean, come from Lotus. I mean, he did well. I mean, he sort of almost at one stage had a chance of a championship with him, sort of, in a sort of a brief light, but
yeah.
I mean you just don't even realise he's on the grid.
No, it's supposed to be such a great matchup at Ferrari, wasn't it?
I mean, he's sort of got away with it as well, because
yeah,
not, like, say nothing is being said. It's just he's having a few troubles and yeah, move on. And
well, they don't want to pay him off again, do they?
That's true. Yeah.
Driver. So why do you say Alonso? Any other nominations?
The one I was going to chuck in, believe it or not, was actually Maldonado, just for getting in the points.
Yeah.
And I think in the end, I think he ended up ninth because Vern got a 5-second penalty, which...
Again.
They both did, didn't they? So they ended the back.
Some of the strange, but there you know, he got a point at least. So that's just, yeah. And he didn't crash. And I thought that was, for the first time in a Lotus anyway, and for the last couple of seasons, he's actually driven and shown he can drive.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah, he had a good weekend and good qualifying too.
I think Ricardo has never mentioned for... The overtake Alonso, didn't he?
Yeah.
After the
yeah
safety car, and then to overtake with Williams.
Yeah.
Which have shown they're not easy to overtake this year. I mean, through pit stops, but yeah.
Especially as yeah, with the DRS, and they were so quick yeah in a straight line behind it.
I thought it was very strong.
Absolutely. Well, now I think I figured out, actually, on the whole Ricciardo thing. It should, it's 1C, isn't it? How do you spell Ricciardo? Is it 1? It is 2 Cs. Oh, no, I was right then. Because that would be Chi, wouldn't it? If it was 1C, it would have been Chi. And if it's CCH, that would be Chi. So actually, I'm going to edit this bit out because it's rubbish. Or maybe I'll leave it in. But basically, someone called our dad, I think it was Joe Saywood actually, who would normally know, I'd have to say, said called him Daniel Ricciardo. I was like, oh, it must be with only 1 C, and I've been getting it wrong all this time. But, maybe not. Anyway, he doesn't pronounce it any like that anyway, does he? Ricardo. Load of rubbish. Moving on quickly. Goat of the weekend.
I actually wanted to say, because of his stupid beard he's got going on, Ricciardo.
Yeah, it was. Did he ever explain why he had that? Because it's not an official Movember effort, because it's all joined up.
And I was just like, what's he doing that for? And I was going to say goat just because of that. But in reality, in terms of driving, Perez, because he crashed.
He did just drive into me, yeah. Not ideal, was it, really?
No.
It's funny, because I reckon a couple of years ago, Ricciardo would have been driver of the weekend for his moustache, so that's how things have changed on the pod. What about you, Carl?
I have to agree on Perez, really. Ruining Suttle's race.
Yeah, well...
Best race, or could have been his best race of the season.
He gained positions at the start of things.
Yeah, so. Just smashed into him. And then probably F1 bosses. Just sit down and sort it out.
Yeah, quite. How about you, Steve? Agree?
The cameraman for almost missing the Hamilton-Rosberg.
Yes!
We basically cut to it, and then he was almost past him. He didn't get to see any of the build-up, and what we were watching previous to that wasn't really even that exciting.
Love that
for
one.
The cameraman.
Well done, son. Great one. Team? Silence.
Yeah, you have to say Mercedes because it's another 1-2, and I mean, they've already run the constructors.
Yeah.
But to be honest, you can see it coming there. And I actually thought Williams had a pretty good, strong race because they're staying ahead of like McLaren and Ferrari.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them, too. So,
well, third and fourth, no, what was it? Fourth and fifth.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably be slightly disappointed that Ricciardo got ahead of them both. I think maybe they were looking for the final podium position. But yeah, it's never strong. Because they were quite close to Mercedes.
Yeah.
Pace, as Rosberg was complaining.
Well, they kept saying I think Martin Brunner kept saying the Williams are keeping the Mercs honest.
Yeah.
During the race, so
they were in the same picture for a long while. They're in the back straight.
Yeah.
They're in the same shot. Amazing. Well, Red Bull had a pretty good weekend, really, didn't they? When you think the Vettel started at the back of the grid, or in the pit lane, wasn't it? In fact.
Yeah.
He finished seventh. Ricciardo on the podium. How about you?
The last, was it like last seven laps or something? He was last as well. From the running cars anyway, because he came in for fresh tyres.
Vettel was?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then he bombed stops. It through the field at the end.
Fair enough. I'll give a shout for Lotus. I think they had a remarkable weekend for the rest of how their season's gone. How about you, Steve?
Sort of a second team, really. I would say Williams, really. I mean, given their budgets and everything, I think they've had a terrific season with... They've managed to probably make the most out of what money they spend, And I think for a team that was back of the midfield a few seasons ago,
They haven't always made the best of their car, have they, in recent seasons? So I suppose at least they've done that.
They've done a terrific job this year.
Absolutely. All right, then. Highlight? Anyone? Any offers? Highlight? Anyone?
The race.
There
was so much going on in the race. And there's like Steve said, with the cameraman and the cutting away from the action. And in a way, I actually felt sorry for them at times, because you had Button and Alonso having a fight, and then Hamilton and Rosberg up front, and there was other things. You think, to try and get it all in, you need about four TVs concentrating on different things, and
I love it.
Just a lot happening. It was a good race.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves was in one of the paddocks. He waved to the camera. That was a real highlight. That was
one of the highlights. Probably this, you know, this nonsense now, walking up to do the national anthem, and Bernie Eccleston, Pamela Anderson, and Keanu Reeves all in the same shot. I thought it was quite a good way to start. Just the randomness of F1 to have them.
Yeah.
Pamela Anderson standing next to Bernie Eccleston.
Like, why? Ambassadors of the sport.
It's probably his new wife, to be fair.
Yeah. There is a joke, I'm sure, about some Formula One going up in something. I don't know. Anyway, carry on. Steve, highlight.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with the race car, to be honest, really. I mean, it was probably one of the best ones in a long while. So, yeah, I mean, it was several highlights, really. I mean, I suppose obviously the overtake that sealed the race for Hamilton. But, I mean, generally the race, yeah, it's a pretty good chat.
Right, we are going to, it is back-to-back weekend, race weekend. So we're going to chop straight into a little look into the Brazilian Grand Prix, penultimate race of the year. We all love Brazil, don't we? It's classic. I always feel a bit sad when it doesn't end the season, especially when the one that does has double points. But that's probably, we've done that one already. Should be a classic race as well, shouldn't it?
Yeah, with Brazil, something always seems to happen. We've had, you know, championship battles, but yeah, I mean, previous years, Vettel spinning on the first lap and coming back, and Hamilton's championship struggles and glory there as well, and just with the weather, and I don't know, it just seems you can overtake there, just seems, just stuff happens.
It's a great track. As,
yeah.
It's a great track. We expect a Mercedes to walk away with it, because it tends to work if you've got a pretty powerful car around Interlagos.
I tend to think so, and I think most people otherwise would think the same. I mean, Mercedes have produced a car that seems to work anywhere in any condition and doesn't seem to lose any pace at all. So yeah, you'd expect them to run away with it more than likely.
Yeah.
Nothing to add, it's just, yeah.
I love it. Well, we ask this question each week, or whenever we do a podcast. Most important week end for anyone? Any Mr. suggestions? Rosberg, so we're going to, yeah, Nico. Say, yeah,
he's got to win, isn't he?
Has he? He's got the double points, you know, in Abu Dhabi. But
can't rely on it. It'd be good if he's... If he wants to keep hope, he needs to pull out a performance for himself, really, so we can say, right, I can do this. If I win, I'm still within a shout. But, yeah, I mean, if he doesn't win, then it'll be tough for him, I think.
Big for Fernando. We still don't know where he's going next year. Or is he going to McLaren?
Yeah, I think McLaren seems to be the idea. But
all right, big weekend for Jensen, then.
Very true. Yeah, he needs... Yeah. Doesn't look good for him, but
do we think we'll see him in Formula One next year?
I don't.
No.
I think it's,
no.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I really wouldn't like to guess. I'm fearful we won't.
That's enough.
Yeah,
that's a guess. That's fine. Yeah, that's good.
So, yeah, so it's a big weekend for him.
Yeah.
If it is the end of his last two races, his F1 career, then sign off in a good way.
He'd want to know it's his last race before he does the last race, wouldn't he? You wouldn't want to think it might not be, and then you almost would want to know.
Look what happened to Barrichello, as we mentioned earlier. He keeps wanting to come back.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get this.
Can we come back? I'm sure that's the noise he keeps making as well. Okay, well, how about some predictions then? Now, in Austin, I predicted, we'll go through what we all predicted and how we got on. I predicted a Hamilton pole and Hamilton win. Obviously, half right. Rosberg outside the top three, which was wrong. Ricciardo to finish ahead of Vettel, which was right. Vernon Button in the top eight, which didn't happen. and Sutil to exit in Q1, which didn't happen either. Yeah, very good one, in fact. Kyle, you said Hamilton pole, Hamilton win as well. Rosberg P2, Bottas P3, two Lotuses to exit in Q1, which normally would have been a good shout. Button top five, sadly didn't happen either. Steve, you said Rosberg to qualify on the dirty side of the grid, as we decided, an even number. And he was on pole. I must admit, I did smile that didn't come off. And you said no safety car. And there was a safety car, wasn't there, after Perez's accident. Bottas on the podium. Oh, it's close. And I've actually miscalculated it, because I gave you one for Massa finishing one position behind Bottas. But he didn't. He finished ahead of him, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So... it doesn't really affect, it only means you aren't quite as far ahead as you were, but there we go. And Richard, you said Hamilton win, Rosberg P2, Button P3, bolt shout that one. Rosberg to qualify P4, I think, wasn't it, on time?
Yeah, that didn't work.
Which I wasn't really sure what it meant on my notes, but it didn't happen anyway, so that's fine. And Ricciardo DNF, which didn't happen either. So, after all that, basically, Steve, you are clearly ahead. I might actually bring out double prediction points. Obviously, I should have decided this at the start of the season, but it's so ridiculous. And Steve will hate this idea. But I'm just going to do it because I'm like Bernie, and I've just decided that it's going to make this more interesting, because otherwise it's, you know, crap. So there you go. I'm even swearing because I'm so angry. But Steve, you are, to be honest, even with double points, you're probably still in an unassailable lead. Kyle, you're second. I'm third now. I presume I've just gone above you, Richard. Sorry about that. That is fairly depressing, I would imagine.
I'm going to roll like Norwich, you see.
Yeah, well, this is it, isn't it? I've got to add our championship predictions as well soon. Four of us had a go at the start of the season, although there wasn't much variety between what we said, so I don't think it may make much difference, but we'll worry about that another time. Who wants to go first, predicting Brazil?
You all have a shout.
Go on then.
First of all, I'm going to predict there will be a wet race. It will start raining, or it will be raining at some point during the race.
So intermediate or wet tyres during the race.
Yes.
Yep.
And there will be a safety car triggered because of the rain.
Okay. So an incident in the rain.
Yeah.
That will trigger a safety car.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's safety car start.
Because a wet start would have triggered a start under the safety car. Yep.
And,
that's a good one. That's a good shout.
Another one. If it does rain,
I'd be like, we're not predicting the drivers. It's all about the weather. I don't know if the weathermen will get this. Go on.
If they're on dry tyres,
that Marisha again is saying it's going to rain. It's going to rain.
If they're on dry tyres and it rains, Button will be first to pit.
So
who'll be first?
You're not getting a kudos point for that one.
Taking the wet tyres.
Yeah. So Jensen and the first car to pit out of everyone.
For wets, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to actually watch this race, aren't I? All right. Yeah. Is that it?
And I better do some drivers.
Don't rely on the weather.
I really don't know what to say. No Toro Rosso in the top 10.
Okay. That's a good shout. It's a good shout because they've been going pretty well. Both of them, actually. And there does seem a suggestion that Eric Verne might stay at Toro Rosso next year now.
Maybe. And another one, Alonso will reveal his plans for next year this weekend.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good work, Richard. Thanks for keeping me on my toes this weekend. I've got to go to Nottingham in the middle of it. That's fine. Good stuff. I'll make sure I write all those down. Who wants to go now?
I can go next if you want. Mercedes 1-2 on Saturday. Not saying Sunday.
Let's just note the fact that you have written these down. These are preempted.
A4 sheet.
Yep. I like this.
Card bill.
Oh, man.
I couldn't find it.
Is it £350 million, by any chance? Mercedes 1-2 in qualifying.
Massa to finish ahead of Bottas on Sunday. Being that's his home Grand Prix, of course.
Okay.
Raikkonen to be out in Q2.
Okay, exit in Q2.
Another podium for Ricciardo. And being Brazil, agree with what Richard said, it's going to rain. So I'm going to predict rain at some point on Sunday.
Okay, so a wet race.
Yeah.
I'm going to start checking whether there's a drop of rain coming falling from the sky. But yes, intermediate or wet tyres during the race. He's still going.
One more to chuck in that I haven't actually written down.
Oof.
But both Lotuses to DNF.
What about that lovely, you know, promising horizon? The blossoming of the E22, are they on? E21? Whichever it is. Kyle?
From opposite looked at the same weather forecast. I think it's going to rain all weekend.
Have we all looked at weather forecasts? Or are we just... No. Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you lucked out there, Richard, because that was about half your prediction. Right, okay.
So, but I'm going to predict top five in qualifying and the race. So, qualifying will be from pole, Hamilton, Rosberg, Vettel, Ricciardo, Alonso. And in the race, because of the rain, Vettel will win.
The race?
Yep.
Good God.
Woof. You can have a kudos moment for that one.
Hamilton second, Rosberg third, Alonso fourth, Button fifth.
Woof. Fantastic effort. Okay. Right. That only leaves me, doesn't it? Well, I tell you what, I don't think there will be a wet race. I think that the weather forecasters will get it all wrong. I don't think there'll be any wet or intermediate tyres used on the Sunday. There you go. That'll be it. No. I think it will... Oh, you see, now you've tempted me there because I wonder maybe saying a non-Mercedes winner. But I think I'm going to go the other extreme and call it an all-Mercedes-engined podium in the race. I think we will see Hülkenberg in the top eight because he likes Brazil. And Kyle's... Well, my record's not been that good, so I get too excited. And who's going to... I want to predict who's going to finish last. The last, not classified finisher. When you look at the race result, the person who's bottom, so either knocked out first, runs off the track first, DNFs, crashes, punctures, doesn't start. I just need to think about who that's going to be. And I think that is going to be... Dum-dum, dum-dum, dum-dum. And it's quite a difficult one, obviously, to think of, as I'm proving. Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. Sorry, Jensen. If anything, I'm doing it for you to prove me wrong. There you go. You've actually got the weather forecast for Brazil, which is basically rain.
Yeah.
Well, that will just make my prediction that much more brilliant when it comes off. I might give myself a kudos point then, because you're basically all telling me I'm wrong. I've got like four kudos points in all my predictions. Are we done? I think we're done, aren't we?
Yep.
All right then. Well, thank you everyone for joining me. Thanks everyone for listening out there. There is the odd EDP Formula One column in the paper when Norwich City aren't attempting to play football midweek. That you can find in the newspaper on a Wednesday, or you can see it online at edp24.co.uk/F1, where you'll also find a link to this here podcast. And these guys are hopefully going to start blogging as well on there too. I've got one from you, haven't I, Richard?
Yeah,
I will put it up. That's on my list to do now that I'm back in Norfolk. So these guys are going to be contributing, so it won't just be my words. And obviously, if any of you guys out there want to get involved, you know how to get hold of us. If you don't, then you can do it via Twitter, which is at Michael J. Bailey, or the EDP F1 account, which is, unsurprisingly, at EDP F1. Steve, if you were on Twitter, what would your Twitter handle be?
No idea. Something to do with my name, perhaps.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably a good shout. Brilliant. Brilliant. Kyle, you're on Twitter. Is it something to do with your name?
It is, at K Cumbers.
Amazing. How about you, Rich?
I am on Twitter, and it is related to my name, half of it, and it is at Bax_kid.
There you go. Because he's cool.
Yes.
He is cool. Brilliant. That was lots of fun. It is, we should say, Brazil this weekend. They are back-to-back races. I'm pretty sure I said that at some point. I hope so. So, enjoy the race. Enjoy Brazil. Enjoy Interlagos. And we will see you on the other side when we do it all over again. We've only got two more races now this season, and it's all done for another year. God, it could be like the last ever Formula One season, the way it's going. Anyway, enjoy it. Bye for now.